Hashem Adonai, bless the name of the Lord. And good evening. You are listening to the Shofar Ministries program. My name is Dan with my lovely wife and Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. We always like to remind our listeners about our website, shofarministries.net. Should you want to re-listen to this or any of our other programs, all archived for your learning pleasure and hopefully to share with others. Let's open tonight's program in prayer. Abba, Father, we praise you and thank you for our salvation and your many provisions bestowed upon us. In these very last days, grant us extra mercy and grace to deal with and stand firm against the evil principalities that encompass us. We claim victory over the drug and alcohol addictions afflicting our loved ones. Please lift the fog from the eyes of the backsliders. Shower them with your alluring love. We also pray for the recent requests that we hold in our hands and for the growth of lukewarm Christians who let the cares of this life take precedence over personal time spent with you. We grieve over the numerous Christians who are being persecuted around the world. May you keep their sufferings light. May tonight's program to be your glory only. We pray this in Yeshua's name. And everybody said, amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear. Let's begin with news from Israel because, sadly, stabbings continue to increase and word has it that ISIS is more heavily instigating the Palestinians through an internet media campaign using a series of videos in support of the ongoing terrorist attacks and encouraging the Palestinians to carry out more lone wolf assaults. And it's happening. As you might know, ISIS has established footholds in Iraq, Syria, Libya, Egypt, and is still expanding its presence with its affiliates, pushing for power as far as Afghanistan. They have also made recent significant progress against the Iranian army in Syria. You know, those Revolutionary Guards of its finest brigades are fighting in Syria, achieving huge victories. This is ISIS achieving huge victories against even the Revolutionary Guards. That's just amazing. And not just by stopping Iran in their tracks, but also forcing them to abandon the sections they have already held, along with the main transportation routes leading to up to that place, Aleppo. Then, the next day, which would have been last Thursday, ISIS followed up on its victory by seizing control of yet another neighborhood in Al-Safira and still is advancing. So then we come to 2 days later, which is, it was Halloween. We call Satan's Night. And guess what happened?
Over 200 Russians were killed in that plane explosion after taking off from Egypt's Sinai.
That's right. ISIS, which does have a pretty significant branch in the Sinai, is claiming responsibility in retaliation of Russia's role against them in Syria.
From what I read, this Sinai branch is really well developed.
Yes, and has a very competent intelligence gathering network, which smells of having a great backing, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, like the CIA.
Well, ISIS does have covert terrorists employed at the resorts in this area, in the staff, at hotels, in the restaurants, and the airfields, and of course they're inside informers. So, ISIS spies could easily find out when the Russian airliner was due to take off from the Red Sea resort and plant the bomb. However, both Russia and Egypt hate to admit that ISIS was indeed responsible. And we don't know for sure, but let's also not forget about Saudi Arabia, the Sunnis, who really want Assad out of Syria, and who probably had a hand in the 9/11 attacks. What do you think about that? And also Washington.
and the CIA and the CFR.
Yeah, they all want Assad out of Syria. Their reasoning for this plane crash, again, would be to threaten Russia to get out of Syria. And it certainly does send that message, and we know evil doesn't care about dead lives.
Okay, an email question this week was about what is your take on Obama agreeing to send 50 more special ops into Syria, but as the others, not for combat, only to advise?
Well, what he says we already know can happen. Just 2 weeks ago, one of our not-for-combat commandos was killed in combat. Anyhow, he says it's to help advise the fight against ISIS. But whom exactly are these special forces supposed to advise in Syria? The five guys remaining out of the 54 that were originally trained that we spent $45 million of our taxpayer funds? Just think even about the complexity of the Syrian battle space. You know, you've got the Russian ground troops along with Russian fighter and helicopter attack forces, Assad's Syrian army, Iranian Quds forces, Hezbollah, and there's a Cuban special operations forces there as well, I understand, and they're aiding Russia. Then you have the al-Nusra Front with the ISIS fighters. And you got the Syrian Free Army that we openly support, that I imagine is the reason for the 50 best of the best advisors, which Russia is bombing on a regular basis. So aren't we then fighting Russia by proxy?
Does look like that. But what you already said, that plane crash was all about.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that how the Vietnam War started? We sent advisors over first.
That's what I understand. Deploying troops into the middle of the Syrian civil war, regardless of their mission, risks drawing more U.S. forces into combat missions and will inevitably increase pressure for the United States to enter the war against Assad. But that way, Obama can say, well, he had to do it, taking the heat off of himself. But we must remind our listeners that the agenda of the evil global elite is to have another big war.
As in WW3.
I'm afraid so. And, you know, nothing is ever as it appears to us common folk, and without a doubt is all very confusing.
And we know who the author of confusion is.
Amen. However, while all this is going on, diplomats from both sides of the Assad dilemma met last Friday in Vienna, the day before the plane crash, to discuss a possible political transition that would remove Syrian President Assad. Leaders from Saudi Arabia, Iran, are John Kerry and the Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov, who said, no way, they're not going to remove Assad. So, is it just a coincidence that the Russian plane exploded the next day? We report, you decide.
Okay, to move on, but first, should you have questions or comments, our email is Sheila@shofarministries.net, or you can call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Love offerings are certainly needed and greatly appreciated. We'll automatically put you on our mailing list for future newsletters and updates. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching letters are archived for your added learning. Take a special note. This Friday and the first Friday of every month, Shofar Assembly meets for an end-time study. So make an effort to join us this Friday at Chester Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe Road in Chesterland, Ohio, at 7 p.m.
Okay. Well, I know we talked about this last week, but I just wanted to continue make a few more comments and actually give you some scriptures about last weekend, which was Halloween and then All Saints Day. And yesterday was All Souls Day in the Catholic religion. But let's start with Halloween. You know, the significance of this year's Halloween weekend events was yet another clear indication of the evil that continues to rise in our global world. There was what they call a blood rave, R-A-V-E, in Amsterdam and other places as well, I understand. But initially, I didn't know what that could even be about until I saw some video clips. And I can tell you, it's horrific. Where these young people are in a big room like a nightclub and are dancing to heavy rock music, where fire sprinklers are turned on the dancers. But it's not water. It's gallons of blood. Very red blood. Now, I assume it's not real, but who knows? They claim it is. And these rave goers keep on dancing as they are continually being coated with it. Many are dressed like vampires with fake teeth.
Apparently, this is taking place from a scene in the movie Blade.
Yeah, I never even heard about that. All I know is that it's very sick. Also, on Friday night, first time ever, live on TV, a program called Destination America aired an actual live exorcism.
Also, last weekend, for the first time in Texas, the Church of Lucifer opened its doors to the public.
That's right. You know, once what was hidden underground, so to speak, is now out in the open and bragged about. Now, protesters were there, but I guess were soon escorted away by the police.
What appears to be good is evil, and evil is good.
Mm-hmm.
That's Satan's agenda.
Then on Saturday, October 31st, was Halloween, which happens to be the biggest human sacrifice day of the entire year for the occult, which means that occults, all around the world were very active. I'm not going to expand on this because I really don't even like speaking on it, but I think there's some things you just have to realize. There are female occult priestesses that will purposely get pregnant to then sacrifice their baby to Satan or another deity. And this has been going on like forever. And I'm going to read Deuteronomy 18 to you in a minute. But Satan doesn't change. And October 31st is the major sexual rituals occurring in America and all around the globe.
If you missed last week's program, it's on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where we detailed the history of this night.
You need, you got to know, Halloween is not just about cute little kids going trick-or-treating, but about evil, the dead, witches, and demons. Scripture says to flee all forms of evil. And 3 John says not to even imitate it. And yet we say nothing when these kids and teens and even adults go to parties imitating evil beings and elevating the dead. And so many now are communicating with the dead, or they think they are. How often I hear people who have lost loved ones say to me, "Oh, they still talk to them all the time." And of course I go, "What?" I immediately tell them that that is necromancy and quote Isaiah 8:19, which I will do for you. It says, "And when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living?" Yeah. Now, here's the Deuteronomy 18 verses 10 through 12. It says, there shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up or on the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out before you. That's Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 12. Also, I want to read Psalms 12, verse 8. The original actually says, the wicked walk around on every side when evil is exalted by the sons of men. In other words, on Halloween and other nights, evil is imitated or even called upon, which opens the doors for wicked spirits to be all around you, and in some cases, possess. And in God's eyes, imitating something evil is like elevating evil, and therefore is a form of worshiping evil. When calling up spirits is done on Ouija boards, it's a door opener into the spiritual wickedness from other places. And as I mentioned last week, why not let your children dress up for Purim in March? Organize it at your church and have the children dress as a character from the book of Esther. You know, the little girls love to dress up as a queen and then give them a present or just some candy and do a few games and tell the story of Esther. So much you can do. But be creative, parents, and explain to them that we as Christians celebrate Purim, which is God's feast, and not Satan's holiday. And then do the same for the other feasts, like Passover, Rosh Hashanah, Tabernacles, which is the real birth of Jesus, as you've heard me say many times. Come on, saints of God, let's make a statement for God. And he will reward you highly for it, especially in judgment, when the book of remembrance of what we do for the Lord will be open for us to see our good for the name of our Lord. Oh, well, and then that brings us to November 1st, which was last Sunday, called All Saints Day, when the Catholic Church lifts up and will pray to the saints that any pope has canonized as such. You are encouraged to talk to them, to pray to them, and then ask them to intercede with the Father for you. This is an abomination, for Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. 1 Timothy 2:5. All Saints' Day is also very ancient. For around the year 900, Emperor Leo VI, and leader of course, the only recognized church, decided, since his wife had recently died, that it would be good to honor those who died the previous year that were surely in heaven. And I mentioned this last week, but I just thought it was important enough to go over it again. Therefore, still believing, or at least wanting the people to believe, that on October 31st, the bad spirits roamed, so they made the next day, November 1st, All Saints Day, to honor the saints now in heaven. Now, I don't have a big problem in remembering our loved ones now in heaven. I think we should. But it's that leaven that has been added that makes the lump very wrong. And that is what the Catholic Church says these saints constantly do. They intercede to God for us. And of course, that is demonically inspired, for the dead do not pray for us. Only Jesus intercedes, as I said, to his bride, to the Father. Besides 1 Timothy 2:5, Hebrews 7 and Romans 8 discusses that. But then we come to yesterday, November 2nd, All Souls Day, which is set aside to memorialize and pray for the families, loved ones, possibly still in purgatory, to be released on November 2nd, All Souls Day. But only on this day could a departed spirit finally leave purgatory and go into heaven, if their time of punishment was fulfilled, or if enough prayers or indulgences of usually money to the church had been paid by the dead person's loved ones. And again, I remember my mother giving money for masses to be said so my grandfather could get out of purgatory. This was pretty common for us. However, this Jesuit Pope said in July of 2013 that if you join the Pope's Twitter, he will grant a special indulgence so your loved one could get out of purgatory early. My goodness, don't even be done because there is no purgatory, but he's actually playing God. And I'm so tired of hearing people dismissing and overlooking the abominable comments he just continues to make. As in his latest one about how Jesus failed his mission when he was here on earth. Here's his direct quote. "And if at times our efforts and works seem to fail and produce no fruit, we need to remember that we are followers of Jesus, and his life, humanly speaking, ended in failure, the failure of the cross." Whew. He said it. You can Google it. Now, you can spin that all you want, and many are. But these are his words, and we, as true Christians, need to expose this, especially to other Catholics, as Ephesians 5:11 tells us to do. Because if you have the opportunity, if God opens the way for you, you better speak the truth, or may God have mercy on you. Or maybe Jesus isn't Lord over your life. Maybe you don't care about the souls of others. Then you need to get saved. Time is moving quickly. Be sure your relationship with Jesus is intimate. And I tell you this every week. How can you be sure? And if Jesus is your betrothed one, you have a desire to know him more, with a passion to be in his word, to be in his presence, in his word, because he is the word. So if you want more Jesus, you got to put more word in you. It's just that simple. If you don't have a desire to know more about the Lord, then you might be an in mind only Christian, like Matthew 7, 21 to 22 and 23 talks about. Head knowledge only, because you know it's something you should do. But without a desire to grow in him, to make him number one in your life, to not be that lukewarm Christian that he'll spew out of his mouth and not be able to use you for any service at all, you don't want that. You want to be dynamic. You want to be strong for the Lord. Do it. Do it now. Get down on your knees and just pray to him. I'd like to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. Yivarechka Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav eleka v'yunecha. Yasei Adonai panav eleka v'yasem laha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her shall prosper in all ways. And of course, that's Jerusalem. That's Psalm 122, verse 6. I'll see you next time. God bless.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.